Welcome, welcome. I'm your host, Kelly Darty, founder and CEO of the KDS Collaborative, where we collaborate with you to help you to continue to choreograph your vision, your goals, and ultimately your success. So we just have two more letters left in our Inspired series. It's hard to believe this whole time has flown by. We are already to E, which, if you've been following our social media or you're subscribed to our newsletter, you know that E is for energy, a word near and dear to my heart. If you've ever had me as a coach or a teacher, you've heard me yell this word countless times. It is the true initiator of all of the things, and learning to engage the energy within ourselves is so important for our success. Today's guest is energy in a nutshell. She is the actual definition of engaged energy. Creator of Barbell Balance Health Coaching, Kelsey Eversmeyer is an enthusiastic health coach changing the script on what it takes for busy professionals to get healthy by intently focusing her clients on life-lasting habits, a little work balance, and strategic evidence-based processes rather than exhausting diet cycles and time-wasting trends. Kelsey and her team offer simple, multi-solution approaches to fitness and health that are molded to suit your on-the-go lifestyle and ever-changing goals through guided, self-paced program and unrelenting support. You guys, if you have ever been craving shame-free health advice that energizes you to crush your goals and to-do lists, look no further. Kelsey of Barbell Balance is your gal. As you know, we are still social distancing here at the KDS Collaborative, so Kelsey is another fabulous guest coming to us by way of Zoom, so please excuse any potential sound glitches or silly Zoom delays. We want to keep bringing you the most inspired content we can during this unprecedented time and feel super fortunate that we have Zoom even as an option. So thank you to the good people over at Zoom. We see you, but for real, like we see you, but that feels like a dad joke. Anyway, whatever. Let me know. Send me a DM. Whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, your engaged energy of the day, Kelsey Eversmeyer. Woo! All right, everybody. Please help me welcome to the Choreograph Your Life stage, Kelsey Eversmeyer. Hello, ma'am.
Hello, hello, and thank you for the warm welcome.
Ooh, you're so welcome. Thank you so much for being here on our Energy Week. I could think of no better source of energy than you, ma'am. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing so good. Just rocking and rolling, checking everything off the list. So yeah, it's been a good day.
Awesome. Love that. Love a good check off the list type of gal. So Kelsey, you are the HBIC of Barbell Balance.
Yes.
Tell us about yourself. Where are you from? What are you doing?
Yeah, so I am a nutrition coach, if you kind of put it in the simplest of forms, but really I am a healthy habit coach. So I help people drop off the bad habits, pick up some good ones, have a little party along the way. And I really just like to, you know, make nutrition and exercise fun. And so that is what I do through Barbell Balance.
Amazing. Well, we love people that try to make that moment fun because I don't know, I personally am always thinking about it in my brain because that's just how I'm wired. And if we're going to have fun, then that's going to be a better time for everyone.
Yeah, no, for sure. And plus, if it's not fun, you're not going to stick to it anyway. So what would be the point in that?
Correct. That is so, so, so true. So
yes.
As we are in the throes, she just mentioned she's also surviving this COVID-19 coronavirus situation moment. So we are doing this interview by way of Zoom. And so if you hear any kind of a delay, anyone, just please continue to bear with us. We are coming out of this thing. We are almost there. So just hang tight. But want to keep bringing everybody the best, most
inspirational, motivational content that we can here at the KDS Collaborative. So I have my good friend Kelsey here. Kelsey, where are you currently in this world? Where are you located?
I am in St. Louis, Missouri, the good old Midwest.
Wonderful.
And I'm actually hanging out at my dad's house. So we have a full house. We've all been quarantining here together. So that's been, you know, a whole adventure in itself.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Yeah, with my dog, which I'm sure you have seen if you watch my Instagram stories, because she is always around and always just causing as much trouble as possible.
Pets are like the highlight of the quarantine.
They are.
Pets and kids are really taking a center stage.
Yeah, they're having a glow up. It's like, how much can your kids and your pets drive you absolutely nuts before we get out of quarantine? So
100%. I know. Loki, my dog, is in the doghouse for real right now. He's had some bad behavior the last couple days. And so, you know, it's just...
Right. I would like my dog to make it out of quarantine without rolling in the mud the day after her bath. Just once.
Oh, yeah.
Just one time. That would be nice.
That'd be a good move. That'd be a really good move. Good Lord.
Yeah.
Okay. Kelsey, so we are talking this week about energy. And for so many people, energy levels have probably been maybe up, maybe down, but they've definitely been probably different than what they typically are for people
over
the course of the last couple of weeks, which I'm sure you can speak to more than I can. But want to get some ideas and some kind of tips from you about what we can be doing to keep our energy high and keep it not just high, but also kind of more focused and positive.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I love that question. I love that. So yeah, as far as energy goes, I think especially when it comes to energy levels, you have to make sure that you're looking at a couple different things, right? You have to make sure that you're looking at your emotional quality as well as like your physical state. So I think for most of us, we definitely feel the emotional ups and downs in our energy. Because I mean, if anyone out there is how I've been lately, it's like one day I'll wake up and I'm like, okay, this isn't too bad. Like I can control what I can control and move on with my day. And then, you know, other days I wake up and it's just the fact that the world is not what it was just even a few months ago really just piles on. Sure, and I'm sure a lot of us have felt that. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people have felt that. So I think that when it comes to energy, it's definitely to get it at least higher or to get yourself in a state where you can control your energy a little bit, you have to be able to kind of ask yourself some questions is where I always start. So whenever I wake up and I'm kind of in that state, you don't necessarily have to meditate if that's not your jam, but you can definitely just start asking yourself kind of where you're at. And so that's where I start every day in order to moderate my energy, because being that I am a high energy person, I tank really hard and I shoot up really hard. So, you know, in order to look at that a little bit and be able to control it as much as I can, or I like to say manipulate my energy as much as I can, I really try to check in with myself and say, okay, where are we at today? What's going on?
Are we having a
crisis today or are we good? So, you know, from that point, I really just try to do, my normal daily stuff, you know, like see where I'm at, acknowledge where I'm at, and then carry on from there. So, as far as getting my energy up, I find that having a morning routine is really important for me. Evening routines are important too, but you know, I would say that setting your day off on the right foot is gonna really help out. So, you know, getting your body moving in the morning, getting your mind moving in the morning by asking it questions and just setting yourself up for success by, you know, putting in front of you what you need to get done. All of these are types of things like routines and getting clear on what it is that you need to do or getting clear on the things that might be affecting your energy, all mm-hmm. of that stuff is going to help you conserve your energy or spend it on the things that you actually want to spend it on.
Sure. And this is, you know, that's such a great tip for even, you know, not in this quarantine time or this yeah. socially distanced time, for just, you know, for people to wake up and kind of start their day off with the questions and, you know, mm-hmm. whether you are a meditative kind of person, or if you are just one to, like you said, ask the questions, or like, yeah. I like to write down 4 things that I'm thankful for and like goals, and, you know, depending upon what, you know, whoever you are and your jam is, it's like you said, just like having that morning routine and starting things off on the right foot. How do you think, mm-hmm. how did you, because obviously you didn't become a wellness and health coach
yeah.
through quarantine. You've been working on this for a long time. What inspired you to go down this particular career path?
I think I would be lying if I said that I ever really wanted to do it for other people. But that's kind of where it ended, at least, or has started a new beginning as of now. But at first it was really just me being frustrated with my own habits and routines and things that I was doing. And oddly enough, you know, my high energy and my ability to just go ended up being my downfall in a lot of ways that affected me personally. So, I mean, you've known me forever.
I have known you forever.
Yeah.
I feel honored and privileged to have known you as long as I've known you.
Yes. And in many different capacities, right? But I think even for as long as you've known me, dating all the way back through, my goodness, I think that was high school. I always had 500 different things going on. Like I always had multiple jobs. I always had at least, you know, school and then multiple extracurricular activities going on. And I really prided myself in getting like a 400 point checklist done every day. and you know, that was really great for me in some areas of my life. Like I got to meet a lot of really cool people such as yourself. I got to build relationships, you know, and even going through having multiple different jobs and bartending and stuff like that. It was awesome to have as much energy as I had and to be able to spend that on so many things. But, you know, a little bit down the line, and I would say probably in the last 2 or 3 years, I really had to start questioning like where that energy was going and why. Mm-hmm. And that's really what led me into health and fitness. I felt like I toyed with it, you know, in some capacity, like jumping on and off diets or jumping on and off workout plans, because I realized that I was running myself ragged and then never had time for myself, like whether it be workouts or, you know, meal prepping ahead of time to make sure that I had like nutritious food. It was just go all the time. Yeah. And then grab what I can along the way.
I feel that in my soul.
Yeah. And you know, it's whenever people ask me where I even came up with my business name, Barbell Balance, I actually really have an issue with the phrase balance, because it's, you know, it's one of those things. Balance is going to look different for everyone at different times, and it's going to look different at different seasons of life. So like for you, whenever you're traveling and you're doing a lot of choreo at certain times, like that is in itself a balance, even though it's very, you know, weighed towards one side or one thing at the time. And then balancing that out is, you know, making sure that when you're not doing those things that you're leaning more towards the other side and you're giving yourself a little bit more time, you're focusing on yourself a little bit more. So, you know, that whole battle with myself was really what led me to where I'm at now. And through, you know, a bunch of different things that I now teach my clients, like time management and having boundaries for yourself and treating your meals and your exercise sessions like they are meetings with the CEO of your dream job, like just mm-hmm. taking it very seriously and taking your energy very seriously, but also allowing yourself to be flexible. All sure. of those things were, you know, things that I learned through crashing and burning a million times over. So yes. Yeah, started from the bottom, now I'm here. And that's kind ta-da. Of, ta-da.
Where did you go to school?
I've been to a couple different schools now that I just graduated, but I went for my undergrad at Maryville University, where I actually studied business and psychology.
Okay.
Didn't know why, but I did it. And then I ended up getting my master's in human performance, so exercise and performance nutrition. So yeah, all of it kind of came to a head though, didn't it? Because now I'm running my own business. Habits through psychology, teaching people how to incorporate, nutrition and exercise into making a more productive life.
So what you're saying is that it all came together in the end.
Yes, it always does. Amazing. Whether it we want it to does. Or not, it always does.
No doubt. So tell us then a little bit about prior to the COVID-19 of it all. How much were you traveling? What did your day look like, and how did you go about choreographing that?
Yeah, so pre-COVID, I was actually traveling a lot more than I ever have. And a lot of that kind of came down to, spending more time on myself and doing whatever I wanted to do. But yeah, since then, it's kind of been crazy. I really love traveling, and that's something that I've always looked forward to doing. And I have found now that, traveling and things like that are limited. I just want to do them a million times more than usual.
Sure, of course. Yeah.
You're like wondering if you could get on a plane without being judged. Yes. But also, I don't want to get sick. So it's been weird since COVID happened. I would say pre-COVID, I was just like everyone else, just going about my day, not really worried about anything that I'm doing being interrupted, especially to this capacity. And so routines and everything have definitely shifted. They have definitely changed in a lot of ways. So whenever it came to pre-COVID, I would say I also had a lot on my plate because I was getting my master's degree. I was also coaching a dance team. I was also running my business. And so there was a lot going on as usual. And since then, a lot of that has changed. I'm not coaching anymore. I finished school, graduated my master's, and then it kind of came to a halt whenever everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was weird because it, in a way, it's almost like it was beneficial to me, because I had just finished doing like all these very time demanding type of things. And now I actually had an excuse to take a vacation of sorts. Yeah.
I relate 100% with what you're saying in terms of there. I hate to ever try to, make this sound like it's been a good thing, obviously. And I know you feel the same way, but.
Oh yeah.
But also that being said, if you can open your mind to what's happening around you and see the benefit of like the moment of pause and take advantage of that, I do think that that's okay to say.
Oh, 100%.
Especially if you're like you or like myself that is used to being in 100 places at one time. The moment to kind of like to have everything in one place and focus, and you've been able to, wrap up everything that you were doing and then now take a little bit of time for yourself, but also focus more on your business, it sounds like, and get into the groove there.
I think it's important to acknowledge that there's a array of emotions going on, especially as we are now transitioning in the United States, at least, into a whole nother phase where things are opening back up a lot sooner than other countries have opted to open up, even though their numbers were significantly lower than ours. And I think that sometimes it's hard because you almost, kind of like you were alluding to, you feel guilty for saying that there's positive that comes out of a situation like this, because there are so many people suffering there, there are people that are really going through it, especially financially with the state of things. you know, and we all know people who are going through that. It's not like we're tone deaf to the fact that there is a lot of, you know, detriment going on right now. But at the same time, I think that there's a lot of strength in being able to acknowledge that there is good out of every situation if you look for it.
Absolutely.
And it's kind of what gets you into a better place to be able to control the things that you can control, because you can at least, you know, narrate to yourself, like, even though there's all this stuff going on that is clearly out of anyone's control, we can still sit down and go, all right, like, what is good about this situation? You know, even though I want to be, you know, working a lot more, if you aren't already in an online business like I was, you know, if you want to be in that position, but you can't be, well, you know, you kind of have to let that go in some ways right now, because yep, there's not much you can do about it, and try to recenter and refocus, you know, your energy, appropriately so, mm-hmm, into doing things that are going to generate more energy into your life and make you feel better and be able to focus more on yourself, or do things that you've been putting off forever because you were forced to work nonstop, or, you know, things like that. Like, try online painting classes and all the other crazy stuff that has surfaced on the internet.
Since adapting to the COVID. So many new classes to take advantage of. Yes. It's overwhelming. My Facebook feed is just full of all sorts of opportunities, yes, that I could be
having. And I thoroughly enjoyed dancing with you. Like, I think I have danced more during quarantine than I have since college.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Anyway, yeah. Taking a little bit of a break from the dancing, because
I love it.
You know, I got to tell you, and I mentioned this on this podcast before, but I'm just going to say it until I'm blue in the face. I cannot tell you how thankful I am at this point in my life for typically having demonstrators.
Oh, yeah.
Because during all of this madness, I was teaching a lot of classes, especially right at first, because I knew, like, people were just trying to adjust to what was happening. And I was thinking about, you know, all the students that I've had over the course of time and people that I've worked with and chose. And I knew how I was feeling. And I was just like, all right, you know what? Like, we got to do something about this.
Yeah, you got to dance it out. You got to feel good. Yeah.
Yeah. So I, like, was coming in hot with, like, a weekly class, and which was awesome. And I may do another one sometime soon, but my body was like, girl,
we can't do it.
Like, you are a grown, like, 30-something, older 30-something. You are not your 18-year-old self. So settle down with the tilt line.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, your tilts are still better than mine have ever been in my life.
So. Well, I thank you. That's very nice of you
Killing
to say.
Killing the game.
I'm going to tell you what, waking up in the morning is a different ball game altogether.
Right.
For sure. For sure.
I was about to say, you knew my extension was crap, but my energy was good.
Their energy was great. So, okay, now that we are in the throes of the quarantine of it all, what does your day look like? Like, when do you start your day? Do you have a schedule? Do you just kind of, what does that look like for you?
Yeah. So now that quarantine is, we've had some practice with quarantine now, haven't we? My schedule looks similar, because it seems to me that I'm doing the same amount of, I guess, like, putting in work and stuff like that. But it is significantly different because I dropped two heavy time commitments off my plate. But for the most part, I'm the kind of person, I have to have routines in order for me not to just, like, lay in bed and cry for, like, days at a time, just, like, out of frustration with what's going on, especially. The control freak in me is like, okay, we're going to detail all these things out. I have, you know, a daily routine where I kind of schedule myself to be able to have the same routine every day, but I'm not going to lie, it is flexible, you know, like, I'm kind of a mix of that type A personality where I want to have a plan. I almost want to have myself scheduled out hour by hour by hour. And that's something that I have done a lot of work on, to be able to pull back and be like, hey, let's have some time to breathe and like just exist for a minute.
The world will continue onward.
Yeah, like let's just be a human for a couple of seconds. And I'm like, okay, that was fun. Can we move on now? but yeah, day to day, I would say pretty standard. I start work around 10 o'clock. And that's after I've gotten a workout in and meditation and whatever else I needed to do that morning for myself. I do a couple hours of research just to stay really updated on everything that's going on in my industry and to make sure that I'm, you know, providing accurate information for the people that are paying me to do that.
Sure. That's good. We like that.
Important. And then, yeah, the rest of the day until sometimes it's 4 o'clock, sometimes I'm working till 8. It really depends. But yeah, I'm just kind of like working throughout my day. And some days it's nice to have a little bit more of a distraction if I'm having a harder day. So I might work a little bit later that day. And then other times, you know, it just, if I get to 4 o'clock or so and everything's done, I clock out, I make some killer dinner with my boyfriend, which has been so fun. I have been cooking a lot more.
Wait, is he there with you?
He is. We have a full house. Full house.
Wow.
Yes. We are planning to move soon.
Well, you know.
Yeah, we love the people we're with, but sometimes you just need your own space.
That is understandable. And I'm sure that the people listening can completely relate.
Yeah. Healthy boundaries. So yeah, that's pretty much what quarantine has been. It's been working out, finding new recipes, cooking a lot more, and
what's your favorite
just
thing
enjoying
to cook?
Ooh. Favorite thing to cook. You know what? It would probably be a nice medium rare steak. That's like my favorite. Yeah. That's a treat. It's like it takes a little bit more attention than other things, but I really enjoy it. And then I've also been diving into, this isn't necessarily like a thing that I like to cook, but I got a full on Vice and Virtue, I think is the name of it.
What is
it? But it's a cookbook and it's called Vice and Virtue. And my boyfriend's mom gave it to me for Christmas. And of course, whenever I had school and everything else going on, it kind of sat on the shelf for a while. But ever since I cracked it out, we've been making a different recipe almost every single day out of it. And
yes,
it has been so lovely. So I've been really diving into that lately, which has been great. So I highly recommend that cookbook. It's actually by Seinfeld's wife, Jessica Seinfeld. She's not a chef or anything, but her mom taught her how to cook and it just became a passion of hers. And she has like 4 different cookbooks and they're all amazing. And she also, in this Food Swings one, this Vice and Virtue Food Swings, she goes into depth about how she doesn't guilt herself from not eating certain foods or restricting herself from being able to eat certain things. It's just all portion centered, which I was pleasantly surprised about. I had no idea that that was going to be like a part of this cookbook experience. I was just opening it up for some recipes, but her philosophy with how she goes about eating and things like that, even though she's not a nutrition coach, are very much aligned with, you know, what I believe and the things that I teach my clients. So yeah, her cookbook has been amazing. It's been a nice addition.
Awesome. So
yeah,
actually a nice little segue into my next question. So you talk about, I know, you know, you and I have had this conversation before and you just mentioned it that, you're not, as a coach, you're not one to focus on restricting or diet, quote unquote diet, or
the diet.
Yeah, the diet, if you will, or anything with regard to, you know, being like super hyper, what's the word that I'm looking for?
Restrictive.
Yeah, just basically, you've always been very like, okay, here are the facts, here's what you're doing, this is going to be a lifestyle, this is not immediate gratification. Can you talk about how, you know, because I know for myself and for a lot of people who may now be working from home, may now be not as active as they typically are. What would you say to those people in terms of like how we should be monitoring that intake?
That's a really good, really, really, really good question. So as far as, you know, your current schedule goes, you always have to know that your nutrition and your activity levels, they are not separate things. As a matter of fact, the way your body burns calories takes both of those things into account. And so you have to make sure that one, you're not doing something just because you feel like you should be. That is one of the biggest mistakes that I see people make is, you know, whether it be during quarantine or not, if you wait until you're absolutely frustrated with your current situation, or you wait until you're guilted into thinking that, you know, the way that you're eating or the way that you're exercising is not, you know, like comparative to other people who might be super into like eating well and super into exercising and things like that. If you go about it because of those reasons, because of those shoulds, it's bound to not go well, like at all.
Yeah.
And that's not me being negative. I want people to know that really is me coming from, you know, this is a statistic type of statement. And it also comes from a place of helping many people who have gone through that over and over again. So before you jump into anything, before you start trying to even, you know, go 0 to 100 and eat 100% clean or anything like that, I always tell people the best thing you can do, the absolute best thing that you can do to kind of moderate where you're at, maintain where you're at, or even move in a direction if weight loss is your jam, your thing right now, whatever it might be. Just start adding in a little bit of good. Like, don't try to cut out all the quote unquote bad or the things that you think are bad. Just start adding in more good. So if you are, you know, right now, I think it's pretty common for all of us to accidentally turn snacks into meals. Like, we end up snacking. Yeah. Hello, that's me.
totally. Me too. I don't understand portion control.
No, yeah. And that's one of those things is we kind of like snack throughout the day, whether it be out of boredom, whether it be out of stress, whether it be just something a habit that we have formed over time for whatever reason, we end up turning snacks into meals. And then we almost, you know, kind of get rid of the idea of actually cooking a meal or getting a meal together. For a number of reasons, like if it seems like it's going to take too long, or if you just aren't feeling like cooking, whatever it might be. And so one of the best things that you can do by adding in that good, if you want a little bit more of a punchy, I'm going to see results almost immediately type of scenarios, you want to start constructing whole meals. And what I mean by whole meals is there's a veggie, there's a protein, there's a carb, there's a fat. And you're making sure that you are feeding your body, you know, a well-balanced meal every time you go to eat. That way you're not just snacking throughout the day. And it helps with portion control as well, because I think one of the biggest dilemmas that I have found people fall into, they don't know if they're eating enough and they don't know if they're eating too much. And that kind of changes based on our feelings, right? Like if you wake up feeling great about the way you look today and, you know, you're feeling pretty good about like how your body feels and everything like that, you might treat your body a little bit better. You might feel like, oh, I'm getting adequate calories and stuff like that. But we've all had those days where you wake up and you're like, hey, I'm not feeling so hot about my self-image today. And now I'm overly aware of like how much I'm eating and I'm fearing that I'm eating too much and I'm going to make my insecurities worse.
Right.
Things like that. So it really helps if you can cushion yourself, just like everything else right now, cushion yourself with some good. Keep adding in good instead of shaming yourself into cutting out all the bad. And I swear on my life, you are 100% guaranteed to see changes long term. But even before that, you're going to feel the changes a lot sooner if you can just add in that goodness. So you don't need to start an exercise program, you know, doing high intensity interval training 7 days a week. you can just start being more active, like allowing yourself to take a few walks throughout the day, get up if you're sitting on a computer for a long time. All of these things that we hear, they're almost like cliche tips now, you know, because you're like, yeah. Now tell me something that's going to work. Those are the things that work.
They're cliche for a reason.
They're cliche because they're so true. And it's annoying because, you know, I wish I could tell people that there is an easier way to get around feeling better. But funny enough, there's not an easier way than getting your body moving. And, you know, just eating things that make you feel good. And that goes both ways. And just like you had touched on, this is important that you really start to understand that eating well does not mean taking out all junk food. Because sometimes like you need to eat for your mental well-being. You need to eat for your social well-being. And I hesitate even saying that now because we're all supposed to be socially distanced. But, you know, just for future context, like coming out of this COVID situation, you have to be able to dive into those social settings, which in almost every culture are surrounded by food. And it's enjoyable and it's supposed to be a great experience. It's supposed to be a connecting experience and things like that. So it's more so, like you said, controlling portion sizes, making sure that you are planning ahead, making sure that you are making meals and not making snacks meals, and just overall being aware about what you're doing, being aware about your intentions with your food. Because if you're, you know, eating really, really healthy and you're shaming yourself through the whole process too, that's not healthy either. Right. You know, there's definitely a relationship that has to be built there with the food in order for it to be good. And your intentions behind everything are so meaningful. Cause like the example I was just using, if you are eating everything and you're not restricting anything and you're portion controlling it and you're enjoying that process, that's going to be a lot better for you. And you're also going to be able to get results longer term because you're actually happy with the, you know, the path that you're using to get there. But in addition to that, you know, if you are on the flip side and you're trying to go on, you know, notorious dieting phases where, God bless us women, but we feel like we need to always be in a dieting phase. Mm-hmm. You know, you're shaming yourself through that whole process. You're telling yourself like, oh, I have to eat this healthy food because I have an end goal in mind. And as soon as you start attaching healthy behaviors as means to an end, to a result that is a means to an end, you start forming really unhealthy relationships with healthy behaviors. And next thing you know, you associate fruits and vegetables with losing weight. And you start to sabotage yourself. You start to, you know, turn away from those things and you only go to fruits and vegetables and proteins and all of that stuff, like really dense nutrition when you have a goal in mind versus it being there, you know, whether you're dieting or not, and you get to enjoy all different foods at both phases of that process. So yeah, it's, if you're struggling during quarantine right now, like, know that even myself and any health professional that tells you that they're not struggling right now or that they're not having to really dive into their own tactics to get through this time, they are lying to you.
They are lying to you. And I would assume, you know, and Kelsey, all of that information is just like so amazing, but I would assume that you would say, and you kind of touched on this too, the same thing for the exercise of it all. Like, people who are trying to work out like 17 times a day and avoid the Q22.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I keep wanting to call it the Q15. And I'm like, what? Are we missing the ring to the Q22? Like, does no one want to jump on that bandwagon with me? Because I think it's hilarious.
Seriously. But
seriously.
Yeah. I think that we like to put little like jokes to our pain sometimes too. If we can laugh about this process that we're all, you know, like gaining weight, then cool. But, you know, I think that also stems from people thinking that gaining weight is a bad thing. Like, where did that ever come from? You know what I'm saying? Right. Other than, you know, that god awful BMI calculator in the 70s, but which, by the way, is not the most realistic way to determine if you're a healthy body weight or not. I'm just going to put that blanket statement out there for anyone who has ever questioned it. But for some reason, our, you know, general practitioners still live by it. Anyway, soapbox.
But anyway, let me step down.
Just throw some shade, moving on. But yeah, so as it pertains to exercise, even if it's actually not going to be good for your body to throw yourself into exercise, because your body's ability to handle that volume of exercise is going to be different depending on how many years you've already been training. And the thing is a lot of people don't realize that if you have not trained consistently, like let's say, you know, you do 3 months on, then you spend like 3 months not doing anything. And then you come back and you stay for 6 months doing an exercise program and you come back. If you do that for 5 years, you know, your training age is not 5 years old because it's inconsistent. So you can't just jump into something, which I find a lot of people will find workouts on Pinterest, or they'll find workouts, you know, online, or go to bodybuilding.com, who has hundreds of thousands of workouts available, or even the online options that people have, or classes, whatever it might be. And it's not that going to those resources is a bad thing by any means, but you have to be able to adapt it to where you're at currently. And not where that exercise program is at currently, because you unknowingly could be picking up a pretty advanced exercise program that is going to leave you sore for like 4 days.
Oh, girl, trust me. Yes. That has happened. And you know this about me too. Like I am pretty active. Like I definitely I'm a workout girl, because it just makes me feel better, like mentally. But Peloton has an app that they have a 30-day trial going on. And so it's really very good actually. But just like you said, I unknowingly did one of the HIIT workouts the other day. And I was
it wrecked you, didn't it?
I am not okay right now.
Yeah.
No, for sure. But it's true.
Though, like, you will get sore when starting something new. That is a given. You know, that's not so much a bad side, but most people unknowingly think that being sore or sweating is an indication of a good workout. If you've been doing the same workout for, I would say, even over a week, like if you've done a week of the same workout and the following week you are still ripped up or you're getting even more sore, that is not a good sign of a good workout or that you put in a good amount of work. It's actually a sign that your body is not recovering, and that's not good for you. That means that eventually, you're going to crash a little bit. It means that your muscles can't repair themselves for how much damage you're doing. And then your sleep is going to suffer. Your fatigue is going to hit really hard. You'll see yourself crash a lot, or maybe you get irritable. Things like that. And that's all affected by, you know, like I said, they go hand in hand, by your nutrition, by your sleep schedule, that you're getting consistent sleep. All of those things that affect recovery are going to be really important. And I think that, you know, whenever it comes to people like yourself and like myself, we really enjoy exercise. You know, if we were to say exercise your nutrition, we'd be like, oh, we love the exercise part of it, because you don't get endorphins from, you know, like a huge endorphin rush from like eating a salad.
Nope.
Wow. Nope. I feel really accomplished. No. Yeah. Like those memes of people who are like smiling and like eating my salad, like my salad told me a joke. It's like, no one feels like that.
No, that salad's not funny.
Yeah. That salad's not funny actually. It's, you know, whenever it comes to exercise, for those of us who feel really good about that, and that's kind of how we both celebrate and punish ourselves even, you really have to be careful, because you have to realize that you are pushing your body in certain ways. And though our bodies are magnificent machines, they have to be kind of leveled up to those points. You can't just jump in zero to 100 and expect your body to be able to keep up with that, or even expect yourself to be able to keep up with that energy wise and, you know, just recovery in general, which is almost more important than the workout itself. Because if you want results from your workout, they don't necessarily come from the workout. They actually come from recovering from the workout. So you want to make sure your recovery is just as on point as your workouts are.
I feel like, Kelsey, with everything that you're saying, I just keep thinking like there are probably so many people listening right now, and maybe who aren't listening right now as well, who could benefit so much from having a wellness coach, and not necessarily a personal trainer, but just somebody like yourself who understands obviously the nutrition side, not that the trainers don't, but you understand the nutrition side and the training side. How does somebody go about, you know, I'll obviously be sharing your contact information, but you know, how do they go about researching who is going to be the right fit for them as a coach? Like, what does that all look like?
Ooh, I love this question a lot. So whenever it comes to, let's back up a little bit, because you dove into a lot of juice here without realizing.
I just dove in.
That's how these questions are really good. And honestly, it's hard to hit all the points and all the context, you know, within a short time frame. But I hope that your listeners are able to get valuable information out of this. I have a couple of tidbits to share with you at the end too, so that there's like a couple of tactical best results kind of takeaways, so that even if they're listening to this and they're like, okay, now I've been told like 500 things not to do, I don't know what to do. You know, awesome. I don't want to confuse the masses even more than the general information confuses them. Sure. But I think that one, it's really important to know before you even start thinking about looking for a professional, the people need to be armed with the fact that the health and fitness industry is one of the most unregulated industries. So there are a lot of really, I don't know if I can cuss on this podcast, there's a lot of crappy coaches out there.
Say that word.
And it's getting more and more gimmicky as we go along, because I mean, you have even qualified people like doctors where we really trust the information that they're giving us because they're medical professionals. And they might take like 3 to 6 credit hours of nutrition information, but yet they are the ones that are designated to help people who are struggling with diabetes. And the reason why that gets murky is because then you're talking about other people who have had to take 33 credit hours of dietetic information. And that's a huge gap. That's a huge gap in information. And you're also looking at different professionals that have worked with different populations. So if you're taking, you know, information from your doctor about your nutrition and exercise and things like that, you might get reliable information, but it's hard to say because you're also getting very generalized information, and you're getting information from people who have been trained to give information based off of sick people. And if you're a relatively healthy individual, they may not have as much in-depth information to share with you in regards to, like, for you individually, how much exercise do you need? How many calories do you need in order to be successful? Right. And the reason why I bring all that up is because it directly relates to nutrition coaches, wellness coaches, personal trainers, and things of that sort. When personal trainers have to get their certifications, there are nutrition components of that, especially if you're getting your certification through NSCA or ACE or any of those other things that personal trainers have to go through to get certified. And again, it's information that is helpful. It is good information, but none of that addresses how you actually get into the habit portion. And that's really where the key is, because your trainer can sit there and tell you to eat vegetables and lots of protein nonstop in order to benefit your workouts. But if you don't actually have a conversation about how to start building and increasing your tolerance for those things in your diet, in your exercise, in your daily life, you're never going to stick to them, right? Like you're never going to get there. We all know we're supposed to eat more fruits and vegetables. We all know that we're supposed to eat, you know, some type of protein instead of a bag of Flaming Hot Cheetos for dinner. Like, we know those things, but they're not always easy to act on. So right. I would encourage anyone out there who's looking for help on their own or who are wanting to consult a professional, there's a couple things you need to know in addition to, you know, what we just covered. One, you don't need a personal trainer. You don't need a nutrition coach. You don't even need a wellness coach or, you know, anything like that. But the difference is just like finding like a fiduciary to handle your money. If you find a really good financial advisor who knows what they're doing, you're going to get to your financial goals so much faster than, you know, learning the ups and downs on your own. And it's the exact same way for finding a professional to help you with your nutrition and exercise goals and things like that. We're not here to tell you things that you don't know. We're here to help you get there faster and to, you know, get through the hurdles a lot faster and maybe even save you from going through some of the struggles that you would go through if you were to do it on your own. Sure. Now, that being said, there are more qualified people than others. Just because someone has a degree does not mean they know what they're talking about. And I can tell you that for a fact because I graduated with some people and I don't know how they graduated. It's a fact, right? Like And it's just like, you know, there's a doctor out there who sees get degrees, like they're a doctor because not because, you know, they were the top of their class, but they skimmed by. You know, there's right. good and bad in every single industry, and there's also gray areas in every single industry. So that gray area meaning, you know, you kind of want to get clear on what it is exactly that you're struggling with. If you think you're struggling with eating healthy food because you just don't like healthy food, I would challenge you to ask yourself if maybe you just struggle with building the habits of incorporating more healthy foods into your diet that you like. If you think that you're too busy to exercise because you're going nonstop, I would challenge you to maybe ask yourself, like, am I just not managing my time enough or efficiently enough to be able to add these things? Or do I think that I'm not, you know, that's not something that I'm worthy of doing? Like, those results that I get from spending time on myself or valuing my time and valuing myself, maybe that's something you struggle with. So, you know, that's kind of like a very shallow and a very deep reflection, but wherever you are on that scale, it's worth asking yourself what it is you actually need. So that first step, first and foremost, you're actually going to the right people for whatever it is that you really are in need of, rather than just being like, you know, I struggle with this thing and I don't know why, and I'm just going to find whatever professional I think might be appropriate for it. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. That makes sense. Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm really big on reflection. My clients know that about me too. I'll always say, you know, don't give me the cocktail answer. Give me the childhood trauma answer. Like, I don't want to know that you want to lose 20 pounds. I want to know what about losing that 20 pounds sounds so enticing to you. Like, what are you wanting out of that? And then we focus on that instead of the end goal of the 20 pounds or whatever it might be. So if you are in search of a professional to help you get through things, there are a couple of questions that I really want you to ask. One, you know, knowing their credentials, and just like there's, you know, people who have masters and doctorates that are in this industry that, you know, aren't the best resources for their expertise, oddly enough, there's also people who don't have credentials that are really freaking good at what they do. One of them being Jordan Syed. He does not have certifications. He is I would say more of an exercise training coach, but he has a really good philosophy on just building good habits in general. And he is amazing. Like, his stuff is so on point. He doesn't have a degree. He doesn't have a certification or anything like that, but he's trusting. And so I would say there is no way to really avoid finding a bad match, but in order to set yourself up for the most success, the best thing that you can do is probably get on the same page with someone that you're interested in working with. Get on a phone call with them. If you're emailing them, make sure that you send them a series of questions or ask them a series of questions to make sure that their philosophy above all things are in line with what you want for yourself.
Right. That's absolutely true. So smart.
How many of us fit, you know, a square into a circle? We're like, okay, we have this end goal. Well, my personal trainer that I had is telling me that, you know, I need to count all my calories or I need to count my macros in order to be successful. Well, is that something you even want to do? Because there's other ways to get to your goal that don't have to do with, you know, spending so much time throughout the day logging every single thing that you've eaten for months on end. So it's just making sure that you one, like the person that you're working with, that you can actually hold a conversation with them.
So important.
But that you're also asking them about their processes. You're asking them how they handle clients who plateau. There's a lot of coaches out there that won't tell you what happens when their clients aren't getting results. If that coach is not willing to have that conversation with you, they are not worth your time.
And I'm sure that you are finding now, or maybe not, I don't know, because I know you've mentioned that you work from afar, but keeping people motivated and holding people accountable for their goals and that sort of thing, do you find that that's harder from a distance because you're not meeting with people face-to-face?
So it's interesting that you ask that, because the whole reason, I used to be a personal trainer, as you know.
Yeah, and she trained me. She was awesome.
Yeah. Made you sweat, kicked your butt a couple times. It was great.
A couple times, yeah.
It was a lot of fun. But the whole reason I actually switched over was because I started to realize that when I couldn't show up for a workout session, my clients weren't showing up for a workout session. Mm-hmm. And yeah. It's weird, because in any other context, where would you ever adjust something that you're doing for yourself because someone else can't do it for you or with you? You know what I'm saying? That's just not something that usually happens. And I started noticing that my clients were becoming much more reliant on me rather than themselves to get them through their everyday. And when you're only with someone 2 hours out of however many hours there are in a week, certain it's over 100 and something. But you can't control what they're doing all of the other hours of the day. And so I moved to the online space because my whole mission was to be able to teach people how to be empowered by the information and make their own decisions and become a source or a resource to themselves, essentially. And one of the biggest things about keeping people motivated, and this is what I tell people if they're interested in my services or I'm onboarding them as a client even, I tell them, I am not here to motivate you. I will say that flat out, because I know, and I think that this common knowledge is making its way around as more and more people are talking about it, but motivation doesn't come from wanting to do the thing that you want to do. It actually comes from doing the thing that you want to do.
Right.
So as you keep doing, you get that motivation, and it doesn't work the other way around. So yeah, that's one of the things is, you know, I had the privilege of being able to have an online centered business before all of this happened. But that's one of the biggest factors, is that if you do want to be motivated, or if you feel like that's something you lack, or maybe you blame, you know, like, oh, I don't have enough discipline, which is why I can't, you know, keep up with this obnoxious workout plan I set out for myself, or this really restrictive diet that I had no business being in the first place. I would say, you know, don't blame your motivation. Don't blame any of those other things, or try to dog on yourself too much, because motivation is fleeting. It is not something that's meant to stay. It's not something that people wake up with every single day, regardless of what they're putting on Instagram. Regardless of what's on the socials, people.
I know. Don't believe everything you read on the internet.
It's a big lie. but you know, there is something to be said for discipline, which is a precursor to forming habits. And what's interesting is that we actually have, I believe it's 43% of our habits we do without even thinking about them. Like, I'm sure we've all driven home and there's like a section of that drive that we don't remember.
That's or like the whole thing. And you're like,
the whole thing. You like get home from the grocery store and you're like, I don't remember any of that. Like, what just happened? Well, that is the portion of your brain that's responsible for habits. So once you know that information and once you can get comfortable with the fact that you're not going to wake up motivated and that 9 times out of 10, you are fighting through automatic responses that you've had for a long time, I think you can have a lot more grace for yourself and a lot more, appreciation and patience for the process of getting there, to be able to take that as a day by day situation and to take that and be like, okay, like the beginning of this very podcast, waking up and saying, okay, where are we at today? You know, like, yes. Where are we at mentally? Where are we at emotionally? And what do we need to do to get through what we need to get through today? You know, is it going to be more of a gritty day where we just say, you know what, just do it, just do it. I know it sucks. Just do it, just do it. Those are what I call my grit days. And then other days you're going to wake up as a willing participant. And I think to be able to be fluid in those things and accept them for what they are and not try to sit there and hype yourself up or, get down on yourself for not being more enthusiastic about like working out and eating a salad. You know, it's okay. It's okay if it's not enjoyable every step of the way, but there are brighter days coming and, you can't rely on motivation for that. That's just not a human experience that, you know, we get the luxury of having.
No, you're absolutely right. So while we're navigating all of this and, you know, it's like we kind of talked about, it's looking like things are headed in a good direction slowly. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with regards to how people can keep their energy levels in check? Or I know you said there were some things that you want people to do and not just what not to do that you would like to share with the listeners today.
Yeah. So to answer that question, I'll give people what's probably going to be a really frustrating.
Great.
Yes, but in order to moderate your energy, it has nothing to do with starting with nutrition. It doesn't really have anything to do with, you know, working out more so you can get more energy or anything like that. What I have found in my experience of coaching and also in my own life and, you know, my friends and the people that, you know, are near and dear to my heart, is that at the end of the day, if you want to preserve your energy, you need to get really clear with your boundaries as a person. Like, you need to be.
I don't think that's frustrating. That's good to know.
Yeah, but I feel like it's one of those cliche things that are people like, okay, yeah, that's elusive. What does that even mean? But it's.
I would be willing to bet, and this is myself included, that a lot of people don't even take the time to think about what their own boundaries are.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. And I think that's how we get sucked into doing things that literally suck the energy from us. I mean, if you are surrounded by things every day and it's always a gradual process, it's not like you jump into something all at one time that you've decided, oh, this is going to make me miserable. Let me just dive into the deep end of the pool. It's usually, you start at like the 3-foot side of the pool and you walk yourself slowly into that deep end without even realizing it. And so just make sure that if you're someone like me, I literally schedule in every week self quiet thinking time where my phone is not in the room, where I am just sitting there, and it's usually early on a Sunday morning where I don't have any text messages coming in. I don't have anything going on. And I will just sit there and think, and I will ask myself a series of questions like, are you happy with what your day-to-day looks like? Are you happy with where you're at right now? What are some things that are going on that you feel really drain you or make you angry or make you, really sad or whatever it might be that you're experiencing, and actually take note and take inventory of those things, write it down if journaling is your thing to get it out. But you can't just think about it. You have to come back around and start strategizing and brainstorming ways in which you can make that better. And I think that is actually where people kind of skip that step. It's not so much they don't think about it, because I think most of us are pretty aware of like, oh, I hate doing this, or I love doing that, or
yes,
you know, I have a lot of fun getting drunk and crunk with my friends every weekend, but I really don't like going to work on Monday. I think that there's there's different aspects that we're aware of, but we never do that extra footwork to come back around and think about how we can actually change those things for ourselves. And the best thing you can possibly do, and even though I'm a nutrition and wellness coach, it's interesting because my clients that come into my program, they're like, wow, I didn't expect to do so much that had nothing to do with nutrition and fitness, but then help, you know, keep me in tune with wanting to do those different new things like eating better and exercising and things. And it's because I force them to do the footwork. I force them to circle back around and say, okay, you're telling me you don't have time in your schedule to do these things that you want to do. How many things do you have in your schedule that you shouldn't be doing in the first place, that you don't even enjoy, or that, you know, could be delegated to someone else or could be done by someone else, but for some reason you have guilted yourself into thinking you're the only person who can possibly do that thing. Mm-hmm. And you know, you have to be able to look at that and say, all right, what is worth having in my life? What is not? And you'll be amazed to see how much time actually clears up. Or if you start looking at, you know, how much time am I spending mindlessly scrolling on social media because I just, you know, go into this dull mind space, or I want to distract myself from what's going on. Well, the more that you distract yourself, the worse it's going to get. And I can tell you, if you start working on it, it's a lot less scary than what you've made it up in your mind to be. So just start taking steps towards it a little bit at a time.
Amazing. How can the people get in touch with you, ma'am?
Yes. Call me, beat me if you want to reach me. I am on the gram. So
of course.
I have Instagram is Barbell Balance. And Barbell is with two L's. Let the people know. Had a couple of people get confused on that one. But
hey,
Barbell,
you know.
Balance. You know what? Spelling's hard. Life is hard.
It is hard.
I'm
know.
Not gonna bust
That's why.
Anyone for it.
Oh my gosh! No, listen. When I was building my website and everything like that, I KDS Collaborative. I'm like, show me a person that can spell the word collaborative. thus,
two L's.
Collab. Period. We're not going into the ructive part.
Yeah.
No.
Yes. No, I was thinking the same thing when I was like building out my website. I was like, is this going to be, I don't know. Sometimes we almost underestimate ourselves and the people around us, but they'll figure it out.
Yeah, they'll figure it out.
But yeah, so I'm most consistent on Instagram. So that's where you're going to get more of like my tidbits and tips and stuff like that. And then I also have a website, which is where you're going to get more information about me. I have an entire about page if you're wanting to kind of dive in and see what I'm about, what my philosophy is for nutrition and stuff like that. And that is barbellbalance.com. So you can catch me that way. And then I also have a lot of fun little things going on. So if you go into my bio area on Instagram, I have a bunch of different links to other information that I provide via, you know, whether it be YouTube videos or a blog. And then I'm also hosting little workshops. So even if you're not ready to dive in as a client with me or anyone else for that matter, and you're just wanting to scope out kind of different tips and things, I've started hosting workshops, and one of them being a meal planning workshop where you basically dive in and we plan out an entire week of meals together, and you know portion sizes that are appropriate for your goals right now amongst that meal planning. You make eating during the week a lot easier so you can actually get consistent, not starve yourself all day on accident, and then dive into so much food once you get done working.
Right.
Which I know is something that I have dealt with in this quarantine.
Sure.
So yeah, lots of good information over there on both sides, both website and Instagram.
Amazing. Well, you have just been a wonderful, wonderful guest today. Thank you so much.
Thanks, ma'am.
This information, I mean, there are so many people, and you know this, but just to remind you, there are so many people out there that are just like sitting around going, oh man, like I don't even know where to begin. And so all of this information that you gave today is so, so, so helpful. And I'm sure everybody was very thankful to be able to hear it. So thank you so much for being here.
Love it. Thanks. Love it. I'm so happy I got to be here.
Yes. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I will see you back here next week. Same time, same place. We have one more episode of our Inspired series. And so I look forward to seeing you all. And by seeing you, I mean talking to you all. Then have an awesome day.